Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533. Kind of like yesterday morning, everybody's snoozing, no phones. Everybody's just quietly listening. 844-707-5533. And I know, you know, it's interesting because I have literally, I have no idea. Depends on how many have been deleted, but I have 1,000 maybe emails at any given time with questions that are unanswered. And if you're one of those people that is waiting patiently for an answer, you may wait for a very long time or maybe never. So I would suggest that a great thing to do would be to call, post a question on Facebook or our website page, and where you're watching the program, and it might get answered a whole lot quicker. And that might be a good thing for you to get in the habit of doing as questions come about. Makes a lot more sense. All right, 844-707-5533. As we look at the markets right now, it looks like all of the markets are in positive territory. By the way, oil is up. It was up over 1%. It is only up 0.75% right now. It's at 53.65. So oil was at 53.65. We are seeing gasoline prices at the pump, the lowest they've been, the national average of gasoline, the lowest they've been in more than a year, So that is very good information, right now, as we think about, obviously, we are in the heart of the driving season. So it's always good news that when we see these gasoline prices dropping like they have been dropping on a very steady basis. The real good news about that is it would appear as though oil is getting somewhat in balance. And, you know, it looks like now we cut 11 rigs last week. We still have well over 1,200 rigs in operation. But when you look at that, it gives us an eye. When we look at what is going on and we see oil prices higher with gasoline prices going lower, boy, that is a very good thing. And it gives us some indication that we're finding kind of the perfect balance right now with oil. We're maintaining, we're producing enough oil to keep our supplies in relatively good shape. We have refineries running at strong capacity, being able to keep up with any demand. Maybe we have a little bit, obviously, of a glut in oil inventories. Otherwise, we wouldn't see prices going down too much. But so we're finding a good balance there where we've got a very good supply. We've got refining capacity working in a very good way. And everything is kind of balancing out to give us some pretty decent prices at the pump. So, you know, and this is including all the ramping up of inventory that we have exported. So we're exporting more crude oil than we ever have. And I gotta believe, as we are watching China import less crude oil from around the globe, that I've got to believe that when that happens, we are going to see, I'm hoping, we are going to see the United States grabbing more market share. And, you know, I don't know, I'm going to assume China realizes this or they've got other plans in some way, shape, or form. But I've got to believe that we are going to see China lose so much market share to these trade and tariffs. Not only are they losing market share, something they can afford to lose even less in market share is jobs. And we're going to see companies starting to move out of China. The more and more we see that, it's going to be a bigger and bigger problem for China. And, you know, market share is not an easy thing to get. Now, China thinks, well, once all the trade tariffs are off, it's not going to be a problem because we're just going to dump things. We're just going to start dumping at different places around the globe. To dumping means selling things at well below prices, reasonable prices, in order to gain the market share back. That's how they got most of it to begin with. So good also in Mexico coming out on ag products. And here's Craig Haugert with our ag report. Hopefully he's got some good news.
This is Craig Haugert with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Corn traded both sides of the market yesterday as we saw position scoring ahead of today's USDA report and drier weather, which allowed for increased planting progress over the weekend. After the close, the crop progress report showed the corn crop at 83% planted versus the five-year average of 99%. That means that there are still roughly 15.8 million acres that have not been planted. 62% of the crop has emerged, which trails the five-year average of 93%. And 59% of the crop is rated as good to excellent, which was a larger number than the trade was looking for, but badly lags the five-year average of 77% in that category. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading 4 cents lower. Soybean prices opened lower yesterday on increased planting progress over the weekend and then turned higher on position evening ahead of today's USDA report. After the close, it was reported that 60% of the soybean crop has been planted, which means that there are still 33.8 million acres to get planted. Of the crop that has been planted, 34% has emerged, which badly lags the five-year average, which is a 73% emergence rate at this point in the year. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading down a nickel. Wheat got some support over concerns of dryness in the Black Sea region. With more heat in store for Russia over the next couple of weeks, this could become a bigger issue. Here in the U.S., there are some concerns about the quality of the winter wheat from too much rain in some areas. After the close, the crop progress report indicated that 97% of the spring wheat has been planted with 85% emerged. The spring wheat crop is rated as 81% good to excellent, which is down 2% from last week. The winter wheat crop was seen as 83% headed, with 4% already having been harvested. Winter wheat conditions are unchanged from last week at 64% good to excellent. In the overnight trade, Chicago is 6 cents lower, while Kansas City is down 9, and Minneapolis is trading 3 cents lower. Cotton futures were a touch higher yesterday, with July futures up 40 points to close at 65.99. After the close, the crop progress report showed that 75% of the cotton crop is planted, which lags the five-year average of 87%. 11% of the crop is now squaring, which is also exactly where the five-year average is at. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading 18 points higher. Livestock futures did a complete flip-flop of Friday as they closed higher straight across the board yesterday. August live cattle were $3 higher for the session, while August feeder cattle finished the day up $2.57. Lean hog futures enjoyed a good session as well. After closing $3 lower on Friday, August lean hog futures snapped back nicely as they finished the day up $2.22. Class 3 milk futures inched themselves a little bit higher again yesterday. For the session, July futures were up 7 points as they settled at 16.71. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading up an additional 2 points. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 65 cents lower to settle at $2.21.66, while selects were $1.87 higher for the day as they settled at $2.08.79. In hogs, the pork carcass values finished 98 cents higher as they settled out at $84.06. This has been Craig Haugart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more Financial Issues after this.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. And you can queue your call. All right, so boy, I am struggling today. Oh my word. Everything's going on me. Okay, that was operator error there, so I can't complain too much about that. But nonetheless, that I'm trying to get it back as I speak. That's why I'm stalling. Trump says, by the way, President Trump says the feds need to keep interest rates, is keeping interest rates way too high. And, you know, I've said this before, I said it again, I wish you'd stop talking about the Fed or to the Fed. And I've said this about every president. I wish they'd stop talking about the markets and the Federal Reserve, because it always comes back to haunt them. You can't win. It's a definite no-win situation. I don't care how good the market is. As soon as you start talking about it, it's probably going to drop. And then no president seems to understand that if they're going to take credit for the good, they got to take credit for the bad. And then as soon as you start making, comments about, well, here's the reason why it's so bad, it never works and it never flies. I got to say this, though. President Obama was probably one of the few presidents that talked the least about the markets. He didn't want to deal with, number one, he didn't want to look like he was endorsing anything that was going on good in the markets, because he spent most of his presidency demonizing Wall Street, fat cat bankers, his words, not mine, demonizing fat cat bankers, demonizing profits, and losing any kind of incentive and environment that would create any kind of real thriving economy. So, you know, it didn't really, he wasn't going to talk about anything good, but he stayed away from it. But we've got to stop. So President Trump now is saying, look, the Fed is keeping interest rates way too high. I know President Trump would want that knee-jerk reaction and that spur in the markets as a result of cutting interest rates. But look, it's not sustainable, and it's not going to be sustainable. It's not going to last long. It isn't. The only thing that's going to last long in the markets is underlying fundamentals of the economy. It's the only thing that's going to keep things sustainable. It's not going to be lower interest rates. We too will get interested. We will get used to those low interest rates. The markets are going to factor all that in. I'm going to be right back to square one. You can't go cutting them back down to zero again. We're going to have nothing but a massive amount of debt. And when the markets collapse and the economy collapse along with it, we're going to have a monumental task of either trying to bail out hundreds of companies or allowing hundreds of companies to go out of business. It's going to be one or the other. And we could see the likes of a depression. We're going to see a depression to the likes of which we can't even imagine right now. So we're going to be very, very careful of what we do. And I think we need a strong dollar, because if we don't have a strong dollar and we don't gain all these countries that are coming to us and all these individuals in countries that are coming to us to buy in to our Treasury Department, the treasuries, where are they going to go? They come here because we've given them a sense of security, because we have a strong dollar. We have a strong economy. We have a dollar that is a desirable currency around the world. It is easy to come here and invest in our government bonds. If that ever goes away, we are toast, because now suppose China starts selling out of our debt and we don't have any buyers for it. Think about that. That could bankrupt our nation. So I think that it's going to be bad policy at this point in the game if we continue to make it cheaper and cheaper for companies to get in more and more debt when they're already leveraged to the hilt and we have too much debt to begin with. So I know I get criticized for that. I can get criticized for that. I know I do. And that's fine. But at the same time, we have got to be thinking about all of that every bit as much as we think about the economy. We don't need to generate an environment where it's good to create and to have more debt. And, you know, I heard somebody today say, well, you know, growth can take care of all that. Really? Really? We've had a growth that has been absolutely amazing since the last presidential election. We have added market cap. We have added hundreds of trillions of dollars. And show me exactly how that's impacted our debt. Well, you know, it's a long term. I understand. But if it's a long term effect, that's fine. But even a long term of impact has an immediate effect. Maybe in a very small way, because we're going to peck at it. We're going to chip away at it, dime by dime by dime. I get that. But think about it. How long are we going to be able to sustain that as well? We can't do it without cutting the size of government. And there seems to be no willingness or desire on anybody's part in the government to cut government. Oh, there will be when we end up in crisis mode. Then we'll be cutting big time. But that is then the problem of government. And I tell you, I think that we have got no, I think politicians have no credibility, none whatsoever. And, you know, I don't know why there are so many clamoring to be a politician when they probably are one of the least respected jobs in the country. So, I don't know. It is amazing, but we continue to see that. No matter what happens. Okay, they say there's a caller in there. I don't see anything on my software. What line would it be? Two. Okay, let me go to Steve. Steve calling us from Oregon. Hey, Steve.
Dan, how are you today?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Yes, I gave that symbol. Interesting what you think about it.
Yeah, Tivia Pharmaceuticals. They're going through a lot of problems and a lot of issues. Going to continue to go into more over the opioid thing. Tivia Pharmaceuticals, an Israeli company. I think it's probably one of the worst companies in our country that has had an impact on our country. I could never, ever recommend it, no matter what it was. They are the abortion pill company. They lobbied, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars lobbying our Congress to allow 17-year-olds to get an abortion pill over the counter. Then a few years ago, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars lobbying our Congress to pass a bill to allow 15-year-olds to get the abortion pill without any kind of prescription or parental consent, which also passed and went through. Because when you give these congressmen this much money, we even had a pro-life Democrat, if there's such a thing, in Pennsylvania that voted for that. So they're not a company I would ever recommend from a financial perspective. Are they? They are a company that has an awful lot in the pipeline from a pharmaceutical perspective. They are a company that will likely continue to, if they can get over the the opioid problems. We had another company go bankrupt, file for bankruptcy yesterday afternoon, that it's involved with all these opioid crisis. They are very, you know, Tivia is down about 40% on the year. So dramatic fall. Needless to say, their valuation's pretty good because they've lost so much valuation. But not, you know, from purely from a financial perspective, forget all the other things that I mentioned. They've been downgraded by every major analytical firm. So it would not be, you know, nobody's buying it. And worse than that, all of that, they have very few institutions that are not selling out of that particular stock. They're only held by 60% of institutions. I remember when it was 100%, so dropped dramatically. So even from a financial perspective, not a company I'd want to buy.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dan.
All right, Steve. Thank you. I appreciate the call. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up. Do we have any calls in the queue? Okay. All right. We do. We'll get back to those. We have lines open. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, you are welcome to do that. 844-707-5533. Sorry to be such a downer on that Tivia Pharmaceutical, but you understand why. I'm sure all of you do if you listen to me for any length of time. I'm not really that sorry. It's just one of the worst morally bankrupt companies that there is. And, you know, maybe, you know, behind them, some of these companies, like the one that went bankrupt yesterday, pharmaceutical company, that was paying doctors to recommend opioids to create the environment of being hooked and buying more opioids and needing more prescriptions. And that's how they made their money. They're no longer in business, obviously, facing insurmountable lawsuits. All right, 844-707-5533. We'll be right back. All right, let me go to phones. Todd is calling us from Michigan, so let me go to Todd. Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm doing good, Dan.
Good.
Thank you, as always, to you and your team.
Sure.
My question is... I did take some profit the last couple of weeks, as one of your alerts kind of said.
Uh-huh.
One thing I've noticed in the energy sector, most of, especially the oil companies, some of them I haven't looked recently, but I could be down almost as much as 50%.
Uh-huh.
Would now be a good time to dollar cost into some of those, or should I still be holding on a little bit? Or, I mean, what's your outlook on...
Yeah,
I think
this is a good time to dollar cost average. I wouldn't have a problem holding off. I know on my institutional accounts, and I'm still holding off. I'm going to wait probably until I start to see an uptick before I get back into it. But right now, with China being what it's being, until there's a China deal, we're not going to see much of an uptick. I don't know that we'll see it go down much. It's been fairly stable for about a month, and I'm talking about oil prices, which obviously are impacting the stock prices. I think it's been fairly stable for about a month, very little movement, both either on the up or the downside. So that's good news. But until we start seeing either OPEC taking deeper cuts in production or China coming back online as a buyer, because China's economy and all of the Eurozone. I mean, this is a global growth story, and oil demand is impacted by that. And that's one of the reasons why things are down. And I don't see any real immediate end to that in the near future. So I would suspect, I don't know that things are going to go down any lower. There are a couple oil stocks on my list that have done very well in the last 8 days, have come up considerably. But, you know, I don't know if that's going to be the norm across the sector just yet. But if you're down that much, then, you know, it's hard to wait. You know, that's an opportunity that you probably shouldn't miss out on.
What I was thinking, and I think the few that I own are your, I can't think of what your blue chip, well, the ones that you kind of just say hold forever, so the bigger that. So.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it'd be a.
Yeah, and a couple of those I put back on my buy list this week. So, yeah, I would dollar cost average down on those now.
Okay. I hadn't checked it yet.
Yep.
I don't think this week. Sometimes I get busy. So I will go ahead and do that and probably even dollar cost, whether they're on there or not, like I said, because some of them are down quite a bit. Not that I'm worried. I'm in my early 40s, so I got plenty of time.
Yeah, they're going to be fine.
It'll be a great opportunity.
It is a great opportunity for so many people right now, and I hope everybody listening is like you and are going to take advantage of that. So, yeah, that's great. Great attitude. That's going to serve you well. Thanks, Todd.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Dan.
God bless.
Have a great day.
I will. Thank you. Let me go to Kevin. Kevin's calling us from Virginia. Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, brother.
Good morning.
I just wanted to come with my 5-gallon bucket of gas for you to answer your question as to why someone would want to be a elected official. What is not to like about a $176,000 a year job for 2 days, if you're lucky, a week, free travel, kickbacks galore, jobs after you retire that have you just sitting around shaking hands for millions of dollars a year? I think about Harry Reid, who never had a job in his entire life, and that guy's a multi-bazillionaire. I've been told that not one house gets built in Nevada that Harry Reid doesn't get a kickback from. So you don't have to have any scruples. You don't have to have any morals. You just sit there and roll up the brinks. So that's the reason why people go. We don't have any people of character in the government anymore, period. Yeah. From one end of the spectrum to the other. I hate to say it. So that's my 1 minute.
Well, you know what? That's a hard thing to argue with, that's for sure. Because, you know, it's the greatest job in the world, I guess, if you're – and that's why people are clamoring to get that job. It is sad. It's sickening. But unfortunately, you're hitting the nail on the head, Kevin.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you weighing in.
God bless.
All right. Thank you, brother. Yeah, what a sad state, but it's true. And he's right. You know, Harry Reid was worth nothing. He's worth millions and millions of dollars. That's every elected official. In case you're wondering why elected officials write books, they all have to write a book. Because that's what they rely upon to say, well, how'd you get all this money? Well, you know, I've written this book. I know one particular Republican that he's retired from office now. Every year he wrote a book. And the interesting part about it was the same book every year, wrote a book every year. So he never sold any, but it didn't matter. Nobody checked that. But, yeah, it's pretty amazing. 844-707-5533. We have lines open. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. Let me go to Kristen. Kristen's calling us from Alabama. Hey, Kristen.
Hey, Dan. How are you today?
Good.
Good. I'm able to listen a couple days a week, so I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
And I definitely am interested and probably will this week giving to preborn. I think that's an important cause.
Amen.
Save babies. So thank you for that. Ministry also. But I had a quick question. I'm currently with Edward Jones, and I do have some oil and gas stocks also. But my question is, I want to, and I've heard you say before, too, that, of course, Walmart is not biblically responsible. I wanted to ask if Dollar General is biblically responsible. It seems like there's one popping up on every corner.
I
so I wanted to ask about that as far as retail. I'm just not sure what I want to switch or move my money into, you know, to get out of Walmart.
Yeah, Dollar General is, and Dollar General was going to go on my buy list this week. I finally finished. I finally finished going through my actually seven quarters with them, and I wasn't able to get a handle on their debt because it wasn't being reported. And so I had December 30, you know, I had year end statements, but it wasn't being reported, and finally got all that report, all those reports. And I got a handle on that now. So yeah, Dollar General, you know, a great place. And, you know, before you just mentioned it, I got to tell you, I didn't give it a lot of thought as I talk about Walmart not being biblically responsible. Right. There's a great answer to it. And I appreciate you raising that. The only downside to buying it now is that it's just been on a tear this year. It's up about, I don't know, it's up a bunch this year, probably over 20%.
I had an inkling about doing it the end of last year, and I didn't do it. And then I've heard, like I said, I sporadically get to listen to you in my drive time between, you know, driving for work. And I know I've heard you say about Walmart, which I was planning on selling it anyway. And then Edward Jones called me about another stock yesterday. And then I asked her, and so she was doing some research. So she is calling me back this afternoon, and I'm going to go ahead and tell her just move it all over.
Yeah.
And go ahead. But it is up. That's what she said. I was like, well, I'd rather do it now. And then and then wait from what I did at the end of last year. So,
great. Good deal.
Good deal.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
All right, Kristen. Okay. Thank you. I'm glad you called.
Thanks. All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Let me go to Betty. Angie. Angie from Arkansas. Hey, Angie.
Hi. Hi, Dan. I'm doing the same thing.
Everybody does it. Yep.
Hi, Andy. I hope that I can word this in a way that it's clear, but my question is, from your directive that you recently gave regarding profit-taking and specifically some complete positions and that kind of thing, what I was wondering is when, I know we went down and then now we're kind of coming back up, are you going to give us more direction on when to get back in, or were we supposed to, because I'm like the prior caller, I don't get to listen every single day, and was wondering, is that going to be an alert that now's the time, or do we just look at the buy list and see if those areas are back on the buy list, or because I pretty much sold
one of the things I wanted to do was to, for people over 50, I wanted to increase their cash position. And I wanted to increase that for, it wasn't about taking profits. It was about using those profits to cash out and increase one's cash position. And I'm not ready to pull that off yet, probably because there are so many geopolitical events, so much going on right now that, and I'll talk a little bit more about this at the conference call here in about an hour or so, but to hold off on that a little bit. Now, you know, that is a very at your discretion kind of thing. If there have been opportunities in buying, you were mentioning a healthcare stock. There was a healthcare stock that I put a sell order in on it. It was up considerably. I said to buy it back. If you looked at my commentary section today, I said, please don't buy it back yet. And so there's a very big, broader picture that I'm looking at that really has a little to do with just the taking of profits. It has more to do with a, more of a long-term range if you're over.
And you're going to talk about it.
I'm going to talk about it in the conference call. Yep.
Excellent.
Okay.
That was my question. Thank
you. Good deal.
That was
all right. Uh-huh. Thank you, Angie. God bless. Folks, we'll be right back. We have lines open.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. Folks, we've got another hour left, hour and 10 minutes. So we're going to take your calls, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Betty. Betty from Texas. Hey, Betty. Yep, you there, Betty? Yep.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I have a question about my stock. I mean, well, not, it's some shares that I received from Citigroup when I worked there about 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know that I even had it. I'd moved and they finally sent me a letter and said that I had these shares and I needed to confirm my address. Otherwise, they were going to do something to it. So anyway, they've been sending me these little dividend letters and it doesn't move. So now the value of it, I think, is like $200. And then they said if I sell it, I'll probably get like $30 or something. So what do you suggest I do with it? It's just 3 shares.
Yeah, I would just sell it. Might as well sell it. I mean, it's just to get rid of the headache of filing it with taxes or anything else you have to do. You might as well just sell it and be done with it.
It's not, it doesn't, for 15 years, it's only gotten up to like $200 or so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. That's what you would suggest.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, if you had more than that, it would be a different story because, you know, maybe you can use the dividend income, but you're only getting about $1.50 a quarter in dividends.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what comes on the paper.
Yeah, so it's not worth really keeping and filing and getting a 1099 and all that. It's not worth it. I would just sell it and be done with it.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're
welcome. I
appreciate
you.
Thank you, Betty. I appreciate you saying that.
Okay. Bye bye.
All right. God bless. Let me go to Deborah from Louisiana. Hey, Deborah.
Hey, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was told the lady that I'm interested in finding out. I have some timber that is due to be thinned, and so I'm going to have some income generated from that, and I'm trying to get some advice basically as to where would be a good place to put this money so that it would kind of grow and just do better for me in the long run.
Are you looking to, you think, get income or do you just want growth? Is this something, is this money that you're going to need?
No, I'm going to put it to the side and I just want it to grow. I'm just trying to grow it.
Yeah. Well, I would probably think about if you think you're going to leave it for the next 10 years or longer even, I would probably split it between maybe two ETFs that would be Timothy Plan ETFs, so they'd be biblically responsible. One is more... a little bit more conservative. It's more of an income producer. The other is more growth. And that might be one option. The other option is if you think you could someday down the road, 10, 15 years from now, look to need more income, then, you know, you could consider a charitable gift annuity for a little bit of it. There's a lot of things you could do, but primarily, if you're looking for just growth, then I would probably try to diversify it between a couple of those ETFs.
Okay. All right. I'll take a look at that. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome. 844-707-5533. We have lines open. We got another hour left. So we'd be happy to take your call. So cue your call up. Now's a good time to do it. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Dan. Dan calling us from Indiana. Hey, Dan.
Hi, how you doing, Dan?
Good. Good morning.
Hi, how you doing? I called last week and had some questions about pension versus lump sum, and we right before we didn't get to finish our conversation because we had a break.
Okay.
And I wasn't able to get back on. So you told me a lot, but I'm not real good with stocks. I'm not, you know, I'm not a stock guy. I'm just a blue collar worker. I just retired about a week ago. And I still haven't got my money where I need to put it. Like, I've got this lump sum versus the company pension. And what kind of questions do you have for me that you need?
So you haven't made a choice of whether you want to take the pension or the lump sum yet?
Yeah, I haven't made a decision. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, are you going to need income?
Not right away, but I want to set it up for income. Yeah.
Okay. And,
yeah.
Do you know what they're offering you as far as, know, what are they offering pension, the pension?
My pension's like right now it's like $250 more a month than what I started with my lump sum. I've got a guy from Raymond James and he's handled my wife's 401k for quite a while, but he's a younger guy. He seems to know what he's doing, and I've been talking to him, but I listen to you about every day, and I'm just so nervous about, you know, all the stuff going on and
so,
you know, with,
so the with pension, the what, how much is the lump sum?
The lump sum's about, $650,000, and then I've got, actually a little more now. I got $140,000 in my 401k. So, you know, upwards towards $800,000.
How much income do you think you're going to need at some point in time? 30,000, 25,000? What?
I'm thinking monthly, like 3,000 a month.
Uh-huh. So
roughly, and I'd be happy.
Yeah.
No, I just don't know what I don't know. And
yeah. Well, look, I let me just say this. So Raymond James guy's going to put some of it in an annuity, an insurance annuity. He's going to talk to you about that. He's going to talk to you about some other mutual funds.
Three bucket thing where they one bucket is okay. Yeah. That's what they
said. Yeah, and some of it's going to be that insurance product stuff, which I
yeah.
So I would just tell you to go with what you're comfortable with. But look, I would tell, if it were me, I would want you to put it all into an account, an investment account, an account in which you can either manage yourself or have somebody manage that's going to be biblically responsible and that can generate an income portfolio out of stocks and bonds. And that income portfolio is going to give you that $3,000 a month. And you should be able to gain that fairly easily without any strain on the principal whatsoever. So what you're going to end up with is your income and a principal that is going to grow over every 10-year period as things go on. So now, I don't know that he's not going to be willing to do that. He's not going to be able to do it from a biblically responsible standpoint, not willing to do it. And I don't know that he can sell individual stocks. I suspect not. Or if he can, he won't want to do that because they can't make any money off it. So I don't think you should be in an assurance product. I think everything you have ought to be liquid so it can be moved if needed to. But I think the only thing I can tell you, if you don't want to do it, there's an advisor that I would recommend to you that can do that. And I would recommend that you contact that person that will, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, will be biblically responsible. And they'll follow my system, my income portfolio, system for it, and they'll help you with that. Now, like Raymond James and anybody else, there's a fee associated with that, but it's well worth it to give you the peace of mind to get exactly what you want. So you can go to your Raymond James person and say, look, I just want a stock portfolio that is made up of all income with stocks and preferreds and bonds, not mutual funds, but individuals that this person is going to manage, that is going to generate the income you need and get a little bit of growth. And you can have them do it for you. But I mean, that's what I would suggest that you do.
Okay.
One of those. So okay. Anyway,
how do I get a hold of?
I can put you back on hold and,
okay.
And Darlene will give you that person.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
All Thank right, you, Dan. Dan. You're welcome. I wish you all the best. Okay. God bless.
Thank you.
Yep.
You too.
844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. And Dan, I know you're on hold, but Darlene's on another call. So I know she'll get to you. So hang on there. 844-707-5533. And folks, if you're interested in somebody like I just explained, you can email pat@financialissues.org, pat@financialissues.org, to say who's that company that Dan recommends to manage, and they'll give you that. I don't even know how many people from this program are being managed by. I don't know anything about